welcome to a brand spanking new episode of the Listening Party Podcast, the conversation and music podcast where every episode is a different theme. With me, as always, is my lovely co-host, Denise.
Hi.
Joining us today in studio, we have longtime friend. He's in our... I always have a difficult time with
that. Oh, yeah. Same. When I, like, email people for the 110, I'm like...
He's in / on our marriage license, so that's how you know it's legit.
Oh, yeah. No, I feel like that's on.
Yeah. On. Oh, yeah, because it's on the paper. It's not inside the paper.
I thought you said he's been in a podcast before.
No, he's been on a podcast.
Oh, is it on? Okay.
By the way, if you hear a bunch of noise in the background or like barking or like weird noises, that's Kopi and Bailey. We thought we'd bring them on this episode for whatever reason because it's kind of hot out here in California.
Just because Mark knows the dogs.
We gave it away. Yes, Mark is here. Welcome. Oh, welcome, Mark. Welcome.
Thanks, guys. Good to see you guys. Good to be here.
How you been?
Great, actually.
Do me a favor. Get right up in... Yeah, bring it in closer. Bring it in closer.
Basically in my mouth, right?
Yeah. Okay. You want to really get in there.
There it is.
Oh, by the way, I wash those after every use, so it's totally clean.
Okay.
Yeah. I tell the guests that all the time, but for the first time ever, it's on the podcast here. You're getting a little BTS, everybody. That's behind the scenes, not the K-pop group. Right? That was K-pop?
I
BTS?
Think so. Yeah.
Yeah, so you've been doing great.
Yeah, I've been doing great, man. Yeah, I feel like every few years or so, I'm just like in a completely different place in my life.
Uh-huh.
So I really enjoy like coming by and not just like on the podcast, but like catching up with you guys.
We always see them when we do a podcast, everybody. That's most of our friends.
And it's just like, oh, shoot. Like, what have I been into like since the last time we hung out? But yeah, I would probably say this is one of the most exciting and fulfilling times of my life. Yeah, it's been an interesting journey, man, especially the last 5 years. So
I'm sure we'll get into it. I don't know how long this episode will be, but it might be a little long, everybody. We only got 3 songs, but you know, Mark likes to talk. I'm just kidding. That's okay. It's a podcast. That's what we want. Some housekeeping here before we start. We put out an episode the first Monday of every month. If you want to get a hold of the show for whatever reason, shoot me an email, rod@lppod.com. If you want to get hold of Denise,
at Defer Music, DEEFUR Music.
And Mark, are you on the socials? Do you want people to get a hold of you?
I'm off for this year.
Oh, that's right. You've been off for a while. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's why it's so hard. I'm like, Mark, I don't even know where you are. I don't know if you're still alive or not.
Yeah, but if they want to reach out, actually starting up a business.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, do you have a business email? Do you have a contact me at mark.com?
Right. Now, the business email is going to be mysticsandmetaphysics@gmail.com.
Nice. I'm pretty sure a lot of people are going to misspell that, dude.
Those are hard,
dude. Those are hard words.
Man. You should have gone like Eminem. just Google it, people. You don't know how to spell. It's all one word. And it's A-N-D?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So Mystics, M-Y-S-T-I-C-S, and Meta, M-E-T-A, physics, @gmail.com.
The Y goes first and then the I in physics. Just in case, everybody. Our audience is not the brightest, so we just want to help them out. I'm just kidding. You're all smart. Hey, calm down. Don't get upset. Whenever we have a guest, which is most episodes, I feel, we do ask that the guest give us a theme if they have an idea. If not, we'll throw some around and you know, we'll pick something. Mark was like, dude, I got the theme. Boom, right on the spot. He had his song like right then and there, so I really appreciate that. Thank you very much. Why don't you tell everybody what theme you chose, why you chose it?
Yeah, so for me, the theme is pretty much around like personal discovery, personal journey, self-realization, self-awareness, and I'd probably say like self-acceptance as well, right? And I guess the reason that hit me is because that's exactly where I'm at right now. You know, I think I spent most of my life trying to figure out like the point, you know, the point of everything, but also the point of me, like, also, like, who am I, you know? And I think for, I'll say most of my life, maybe, I feel like I knew myself up until around maybe the age of 8. Mm-hmm. And then between like 8 and now, I was just like asleep, right? With some moments of awareness, but generally it's just like pretty asleep, right? And for me, it's always been, I guess it's been like trying to figure out who I am in the context of relationships. Because I always felt like my partners were like mirrors, right? And I couldn't really know who I was unless I was experiencing someone else who can like reflect that back to me. And I just got out of a 5-year engagement.
Oh.
Yeah.
And wait, wasn't that a movie?
Yeah.
Five-year engagement. Yeah.
With Jason Segel.
With Jason Segel, yeah.
That's about me.
It was.
Yeah. And this is like a, like the most powerful, I feel like, catalyst for my self-knowing. Because, yeah, like the moment of it ending, and it was kind of like a slow process, right? The ending of it. Yeah, it was like a slow burn. And when I say burn, it was like burning away of this ignorance of who I was. And then over time, it was just like, oh shit, like I'm starting to realize what I do want in a partnership in my life and what I don't want. So for now, that's pretty much what my like self-awareness is, my self-knowing. It's about like who I want, what I want, who I don't want, and what I don't want. Right. So probably more around like boundaries, needs, values, getting to know myself on that level. And I feel like moving forward, the personal discovery, personal journey is more about exploring what that means. You know, so now that I know like what I stand for, what I value, like what am I going to do with that? Right. Mm-hmm. So I guess just looking forward to, you know, being open to what comes and just making sure like I'm aware and present through all of it so that I can view for myself, like, okay, what are these things about me without necessarily needing to like lose myself in the relationship or situation, in order to sort of like hammer that into me. Right. Like I've never really been present enough to just sort of like decide, oh, okay, this is me. Right. No, like I needed like shock value, like, oh shit, this sucks. Life sucks. And then in retrospect, be like, oh, that was actually like quite beautiful. And like that helped me learn this about myself. Mm. Yeah. So pretty much why the theme, you know, mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's kind of my hope, I guess, to inspire others to like be present, be aware. And I think it's super important to know who you are, especially when it comes to like the song that we're going to get into. Because I feel like it's basically about taking up space, right? Like, as you know, your wants, your needs, your desires, like that's valid, you know, and like nobody else should, you know, shut that down, shut that out. Like you're allowed to take up space. You're allowed to be who you are and be accepted for that, like wholly and fully. So, yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand all of that, but I get it. We'll definitely get more into all the things that you've been getting into recently and what you plan to do with your future business and all that. But I guess before we get into that, go ahead and introduce your song, the artist.
Yeah, and if it's okay, like after we listen to the song, like I would actually like to break down like a lot of the stanzas. And
no,
like,
we don't do that.
What they mean to me?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Yeah, of course. Yes. Sorry. Yes, we will do that.
We don't play the whole song though.
Right.
No, I did tell him that. I did.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, so go ahead.
Copyright reasons.
Do your best. Do your best radio DJ impersonation.
Oh my God. All right. So yeah, the artist's name is Satsang. And the song's name is I Am.
No longer fear the unknown, 'cause I know what I am here for. I keep on trotting on my own path, keep on learning from my present and past, yeah. When I no longer need validation, 'cause my story is long and I'm patient. I know that I have lessons to learn, keep my eyes open each step I earn, yeah. No need for me to feel alone, 'cause I got a place that I call home. Every single road travel, every single new place, I come back home, they accept me with grace, yeah. When I know that I was meant to be here, and I know that I was born into fear, but I will stand tall in the lion's den, 'cause I know in my heart I am one of them. That there lies in the facets of everything that we see, that are telling us to be scared, when all we ever are is free. I'm letting go of the things that don't serve me no more, 'cause I am holy and sacred and righteous and true, and I deserve to be here, and so do you.
All right, yeah, I felt that. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I'll let you line by line, sir. Yeah,
thanks, man. So yeah, that song hits me like right away. So at the beginning when it talks about like no longer fearing the unknown because I know what I'm here for, that's huge for me. So I've pretty much gone my entire life not really knowing my purpose. You know, just sort of, okay, just do things, right? But I pretty much spent most of my life like in the shadows, you know, not just like super introverted, but also
like a vampire. No, I'm just kidding. Just because we were talking about that show.
We were talking about Vampire Diaries earlier. Yeah.
And what we do in the shadows.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't so much like the whole like introversion thing, but it was more just like being afraid of like being seen, mm-hmm. right? For whatever reason, right? Fear of, you know, being seen, fear of being great, fear of accomplishing things. Because I don't know, maybe it was like the responsibility that, you know, would be placed on me. I feel like that's probably it. Because I don't know if you guys remember, but like when I went to college, you know, I was sort of like, I don't know, raised to like being told like, oh, you're the golden child. You're going to like save this family. And I was kind of a child prodigy, right? Like, and so when I got to college, like all of that hit me and I was just like, oh shit, like I don't want this responsibility. So I dropped out of college, right? And went back like 12 years later. but I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know like the point of anything really. And it wasn't until recently. So I'm in a men's group and it's centered around like purpose and, you know, leading people. And there was a point beginning of this year where, can we cuss on the show?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Where I was pretty much, I was fed
fuck
up.
Fuck yeah.
I was pretty much fed up. Because, you know, it's like hammered into you like, yo, what's your purpose? What are you here for? Like, you know? And at some point I was like, you know what? Fuck purpose. Like I'm sick of getting stressed out, not like knowing what it is and like looking for it, trying to find it. And it's just like, it was such a burden. And in that moment when I was like, fuck purpose, I realized I've been living it this whole time. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's really about being myself, like being my authentic self. And in that, like inspiring others, you know what I mean? Cause I've had people come up to me like, dude, like, you know, that whole boxing thing you did was like incredible. Like what made you do that? I'm like, I don't know. It's just something I felt like doing in the moment. Right. Or like running a marathon or doing Muay Thai. and also for me, it's about like deepening relationships. Like I feel like I have this ability to like really connect with people on an intimate level, which is interesting because most people like I used to be around, it's just like surface connection. And that's always bothered me. And I guess that's why I was more introverted, right? But I realized when I can actually like sit with people who are like deeply connected with themselves and like open and I don't know, sensitive, I guess, to that kind of thing, receptive, I just like blossom. Like you can't get me to like shut up. So, and that's really like uplifting for me. So I guess once I realized like, oh, I know what I'm here for, you know, I'm here to know myself and in that, you know, inspire others to know themselves. So with that, yeah, I just like stopped fearing the unknown. I stopped fearing like what was ahead, you know, like, oh shit, like where am I going? Am I gonna one day just realize like, oh, I'm on my deathbed and like, shit, I'm terrified. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so like, I don't really fear that anymore. There are moments like yesterday, I was telling you guys before the show, I just felt so fulfilled. And in that moment, I was like, I told my friends this, I can literally go to sleep right now and die happy. Like, like I'm not afraid. And that made me realize like, you know, it's I feel like once you live in purpose and like once you start to fulfill that and become like self-realized, there's really nothing to be afraid of. It's just like, okay, cool. Like I'm going to die. At least I did what I came here to do. Right. So yeah, the second part of that line was like, I keep trotting on my own path, keep on learning from present and past. I've learned to just do my own thing and like trust the process, which was a long process for me.
Yeah.
Cause I always question like, am I doing the wrong thing? Am I saying the wrong thing? Am I with the wrong person? But looking back, I realized like, oh, this is actually like taking me closer and closer and closer to my most fulfilled self. Yeah. I think it's the second stanza there where it talks about when I no longer need validation, my story is long and I'm patient. So I think you guys like would probably like verify this, but yeah. I've always sought like external validation.
Yeah.
You know, it's mm-hmm. just like, oh, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And that's been such a like interesting flip for me, because now it's like I don't really seek it. Like I feel like I'm comfortable enough, like in my own skin, to feel like, actually, no, that's not for me. Instead of completely taking on someone else's ideas, projections, thoughts, beliefs, you know, which is, especially in relationship, like that's something I've always done, you know. And I can specifically remember like talking to my family and friends and telling them things, right, that I thought was my like belief system. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, what are you talking about? Like that doesn't sound like you at all. And I'm like, no, it is. Like, this is the way things are. Uh-huh. And once I like separated myself from, you know, whoever else, I realized, oh shit, that wasn't me, you know. And that goes back to what I was saying earlier about, you know, needing other people to know who I am. Mm. And now it's like, I don't need that. I don't need validation. Like, I'm, you know, I'm good as I am. And yeah, I'm looking forward to exploring that even more. I think one of the strongest pieces in that song for me was like no longer needing to feel alone, because I have a place that I call home. Every single road traveled, every single new place, I come back home and they accept me with grace. so the men's team that I was telling you guys about. Oh man. Like,
that was, how long have you been doing the men's team?
I was about a little over 4 years.
Oh dang. Yeah, it feels like it's been like way longer.
Yeah. It's I think March 2019. Mm. Yeah. 2019. So the guys that I'm with now, cause you know, over time people leave, people, mm-hmm. you know, join, dude, these guys are like super legendary. So like one of the guys is a shaman mm-hmm. in Mexico. And and he's also like, I consider him like my own personal guide. Like he has this like phenomenal ability to just like take all my emotions. Like I'll babble on for like 10 minutes when I'm in an emotional state and he'll be like, oh yeah, so basically what you're saying is this. And I'm like, holy shit, yes. Mm-hmm. You know? And he's been so like valuable in my life. I have another guy. I was a mystic and he sort of helps me see the beauty of things, you know, the optimistic side of things. And I'm sure you guys...
Wait, what's a mystic?
Mystic is basically someone who...
Like a wizard?
Like tapped into like source or God or the universe, whatever you want to call it.
Oh, okay, okay.
And like they just have that connection, you know, and their like purpose for being here is to sort of like bring people back to that, to seeing the like underlying current that, you know, moves through everything, right?
The force.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically.
He's a Jedi, yeah, dude.
He is totally. I have another guy who's this like super wise and powerful creative. I think I mentioned him to you. He's also a rapper. Yeah.
Yeah. Sage Francis. I think he mentioned that.
Yeah,
last time.
My buddy Vince. But yeah, Sage Francis, let's go. Yeah, like he's amazing rapper, like huh. super wise, super gifted.
Wait, on that note, since you know, I guess it's like a music podcast, whatever. So he's a rapper. Does he do like shows, or he just kind of like mm-hmm. is he like an underground rapper where he has kind of like a I don't care about like a following or no following, but like does he perform live? I guess is what I'm basically
yeah. So he
at.
Actually, I think this was last year or earlier this year. He opened up for Damian Marley.
Oh, damn!
Yeah, okay. And then he performed. I think that was at Dry Diggins. I don't know if you're familiar with that festival. Yeah, it's like a reggae mm-hmm. Hip hop festival. Yeah, and he's done like local shows. I think he's open for other like.
Oh, nice! So he does get out there and perform and stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's dope.
Yeah. And he's super mm-hmm. wonderful. I think it'd be cool to have him on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
Have his people call our people. Work something out.
I'm his people. So that's what I'm doing right now. And then I have this like buddy in my group too. He's like a genius of practicality. Mm-hmm. So whenever I'm like super lost in like the emotions of things or, you know, the confusion of it all, he's just like, yo, what about this? So he helps ground me in that way, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's two other guys who are like super intelligent, super wise, and they're super perceptive. So they know how to ask like questions that like help me dig deeper. And that's been so valuable too. Lastly, there's this this guy who's like, he's older. He's just like rad. He reminds me of just like a rocker dude from way back when, right? But he's like so wise. You can tell he's just like has all this wisdom, right? But when he shares the wisdom, he like uses metaphors that are like super fucking hilarious. Like just like, what the fuck? But like, as soon as he says it, you're like dying laughing. And then it like hits you like, oh shit, that's like super deep and like transformative. So I appreciate that, because sometimes when you like do this, you know, work, it's just like super heavy, you know? So he brings the lightness to it, which is like so important. So that's my men's team. You know, those are the people that I call home, right? I also have really powerful women in my life. So Mari is this woman that I'm, you know, dating.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's see a pic. Yeah, I just did that.
And oh man, I can't tell you how do I want to word this? It's like
hashiest. Nah, I can't.
In many ways,
go ahead.
I like, I guess karma clearing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like I have literally been myself with her since day one. And, you know, coming off the last relationship where it's like, you know what? I've noticed how in these relationships, especially the last one where it's like, there was like compulsive lying, right?
Oh, geez.
Because, yeah, I know, but I didn't recognize it because I was just so used to, you know, having that like nice guy syndrome.
Just like, that's the worst.
Yeah, man. Ugh. It's like, oh, I don't want to hurt her feelings, so I'm just not going to say that. Even if it's like little stuff that's like inconsequential, right?
Yeah.
But it like stacks up. Mm-hmm. And every time that happens, it like, you know, chips away at my integrity. And then, yeah, like, you know, at some point they realize like, who even are you? Like, who the fuck are you? Like, I don't know who you are. Like, you present this illusion of who you are and like, you're not at all that. So I swore after this last relationship never to lie again. So then, you know, I met Mari like out of nowhere. She literally just showed up out of nowhere, right? When I hit that moment where I was like, you know, I just want peace moving forward. Like, I'm tired of like drama and just like, it's too much, right?
Mark loves the drama. Like, he's always loved the drama.
There's a part of me that loves the drama.
Yeah.
Keeps things exciting, man.
That's why he watches Vampire Diaries.
Yeah, exactly. So I tell her everything, you know, and I, not that I'm like careless, but it's just like, yo, this is who I am. Like, if you don't like it, then, you know, like, cool, we can be friends, right? And like, that's how I'm living my life moving forward, right? You don't have to be a part of my life. Like, this is me. And the people who stay are my people. She loves it. You know, it's like super like attractive for her. And I've also embraced like with her that I'm an emotional person. Like, I'm super emotional. Like, you guys might not agree.
Oh, but... no, I agree.
So, I feel like emotional goes with like dramatic drama. And like, wait, what did you say?
Drama, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and dramatic and yeah. Stuff. That's what we called you back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
In high school.
Like, attention.
Attention.
Oh, man. And yeah, she just like, we'll sit there and listen. And I'm just like, what? You know? And I can just fully express myself without that like pushback, mm-hmm. right? Like, she doesn't take anything personal. And for me, like, that has been insanely healing. I'm just like, oh shit, like, you're cool with me just like being me and like authentically expressing myself. And she's like, yeah, you know, she's like, that's what makes you you. And I think it's beautiful. So that's one powerful woman in my life right now. A coworker of mine, Iris. I knew her back when I was with a previous partner. So maybe over like 7 years. Yeah. Well, I think over 7 years. Yeah. Maybe even closer to 10 years.
I feel like it's been 10. Like, yeah. But, right? Yeah. I was like, yeah. Yeah. We've known Mark a long time. Like, yeah. I'll touch on that later, but
touch on it.
And she's always been super like grounded for me. She never like judged me for the things I would share. It's almost like she just like gave me this unconditional like watchfulness of my journey and just helps reflect things back to me. Right. So that's super valuable for me. Also provides like very valuable insights. And then Susie, she's very ambitious, driven. I feel like she helps me stay away from
drugs.
Yeah. Drugs.
Boo, Susie.
Like when I get in these moments, I was like, oh, I don't want to do anything. Like, life sucks or whatever. She's like, dude, pick yourself, like, pick your pants up and like, let's go. Like, let's get some shit done. Like, you got this or whatever. Very encouraging, very motivating. And that's been helpful for me too. So yeah, just with, you know, the men and the women in my life, some family members. Those are my people that I call home. So it's like anytime I feel alone, it's just like, yo, let me just go back to my tribe, my community, right? And then lastly, like, there's me. You know, like, I never felt safe within myself, which is why I always like sought other people to help like calm me, help regulate me. But now, you know, I feel like I've developed the tools, you know, breath work and then like trust in the process and knowing like whatever I'm going through right now, it all is all in service to like my future self, right? It was gonna look back and be like, dude, like, fuck yeah, like, you did that shit, you went through that shit, you learned this shit, and I'm here now because of it.
I came across this quote. I don't know where I saw it. I don't think it was a quote or anything. I think it was just somebody, I was like trying to figure how to deal with like procrastination and all that. I kind of like tried to repeat it to myself. And it's just basically like prepare for your future self kind of thing. Mm. You'll thank yourself later. And then, yeah, so that spoke to me.
I have a thing about procrastination though, because I'm a procrastinator. And mm-hmm. I feel like...
No, I was saying for me.
Yeah, like people get like a bad rap. Like they give it a bad rap, right? And I think I read this somewhere too, where it's like big, successful, like businessmen, like they want procrastinators in their business. They want lazy, you know, quote unquote, lazy people in their business mm-hmm. because they find the most effective and easiest way to do things, like the simplest way.
Oh,
to
right.
Do it. Yeah, because they don't want to work, true. Right? If I can bring human design into it, which is, you know, what I was talking about. So when the root center is like open, you're a procrastinator because you have to wait for like the pressure to build up. Mm-hmm. And then once it's like built up, then you're like, okay, I got to fucking do it, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas like if you try to do it like when you're supposed to, if you try to extend it out, like, oh, I have this project to do and I'm going to extend it out over the course of a month or whatever. It's just like, dude, like it's not going to be fulfilling. It's going to be stressful. And you probably won't get it done as effectively or efficiently as you would have if you waited.
Yeah.
For that moment, we were just like, oh, that's I can work for like 12 hours right now. Yeah, it's yeah. all like inspired work.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So yes. I think procrastination is fine, man. Mm-hmm. The line about...
We haven't gotten to the chorus yet, people, so stick with it.
There are lies in the facets of everything that we see.
There are lies or there are lines?
Lies.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they're telling us to be scared when all we ever are is free. So, I mean, there's that whole aspect of, you know, us being lied to by the government, by TV, by media, whatever, right? But for me, this is more of like a personal thing. So it's like everything that we see, you know, especially in the context of relationships, our personal like projections and wounds, we see things through the filter of our own like traumas, right?
Right.
So let's say you're in conflict with a partner. You're just like, oh shit, like they're doing this. And the reason they're doing this is because of this. And like, oh, they're monsters. They're evil. Like fuck this person. Right. but it's all fear. Right. And it's all like, it's a lie. You know, it's this like old story that you have from, you know, previous, you know, experiences where it's like, oh, this is what's happening right now. So I think it's important in order to like free yourself from that, to sort of one, like get intimate with your own personal beliefs around it. And then two, like restructure it. Like, yo, what is the real thing that's happening here? Like being present, right? Getting rid of the old belief that like sabotage your relationships, your life, your success, all of that, right? Then it goes off into talking about letting go of the things that don't serve me anymore. Yeah, that was big for me this year. And I, you know, yeah.
That can be hard, right? Like, especially when the things that don't serve you are like other people mm-hmm. and people that have like are either family or people that are you've known for a long time. You kind of think to yourself, yeah, maybe they're not the best person, but they're not that bad. Mm-hmm. Every now and then they're okay. And then you also don't want them to, you're just kind of like, I don't know. Like, I don't want them to think like I'm an asshole because I don't want to talk to them anymore. But then at the same time, it's like, but they're not that, like, you know. So you just kind of like ghost them a little bit. And you're just like, oh, okay, maybe they just won't come around. But yeah, that's a hard one, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely difficult, man. And I've had to do that, you know, let go of people and things that don't serve me. But I realize, man, like people and things, like they can hold you back, man. And it's hard to acknowledge that because sometimes these are the people that meet certain needs that you have. And if you let that go, then it's like, shit, like, am I going to get this need like met ever again? Like, uh-huh. And it can be really scary. Yeah, you realize, you know, you trust the process, you surrender to that. It's like, yo, like I'll be taken care of, you know, by the universe, by God, the force, right? Like it's going to lead me to something better. And I think when you really like adopt that belief, like you actually start to see it. You shift the filter of your reality, basically, to pull those things in. Yeah, so that's helped me, man. I mean, once I realized like, yo, I'm going to say no to the things that are a no for me. And I'm going to say yes to the things that are a fuck yes for me. Once I did that, started doing that, and like little things too. So it's like, you know, let's say my mom is just like, hey, can I borrow $20? You know, if I didn't want to before, I would do it anyway. I'm just like, all right, fine, whatever, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then the rest of the day, I just had like no energy, right? Like,
oh, I thought you were going to say I had no money. I was like, well, dude, I'll give you $20.
That's you, right? Sometimes I would do that without having it.
Yeah, you know?
Because I'm so like, I'm a community person, like a family person, like a tribal person. Uh-huh. So for me, it's like, okay, like they need something. Uh-huh. If my buddy needs like $200 and I have like,
I could do 20. I can't do 200.
And if I have like $202 in my bank account, I'll give them the $200 and then just be like, fuck, I got to figure out how to like last this next 2 weeks on $2.
Yeah, right? Yeah. There you go, everybody. If you need money, hit Mark up, right? He won't say no. Oh, no, that was old Mark.
That was the old Mark.
Never mind.
So now I'm just like, well, no, you know, like, no. And I don't have to offer an explanation, you know, but if they want one, then sure, maybe I'll accommodate them, right?
Well, but, what if the explanation is just like, no, I don't want to. Then that's the explanation?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like it doesn't feel
and right. What if your mom says, Mark, I know you have $20. I'm your mother. I birthed you from my loins. You can't give me $20.
Right. So now I look at the bigger picture. So it's like, okay, I can give you $20 or I can help you understand that you're not great with money. And I can
that's what Denise does.
Oh yeah. And I
can,
it's true.
Yeah. And I can help you figure out how to be better with money so that you won't ever need to borrow $20 from me or anybody. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're like, okay, but can I get the $20 right. first?
Yeah.
So we can talk later. I need the $20 right now.
Yeah.
Oh man. So that, yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at now. And I realized once I started doing that, like I have this like crazy amount of energy. That's just like everything flows. Right. And I'm able to move throughout my day in a flow state. You know, it's like super graceful and energized and connective. And like, I don't know, it's like everything just that I want to happen happens.
Mm-hmm.
But that gets interrupted if I start to like abandon myself and be like, no for a yes. Mm-hmm. And then like a yes for a no.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So I think if you want to live in a way that's very flowy and very freeing, I think one should definitely let go of the things that don't serve them. Right. Mm-hmm. Whatever that is. Yeah. There's a line that says to stay sharp, stay present, and ignore the fools and focus on ascent. So for me,
ascent like ascending.
Yeah. For me, it's like,
I thought ascent like a smell. I was like, all right.
Yeah. For me, that's ascent in the sense of like moving towards, you know, my highest self, if you want to call it that, my most evolved self. Cause there are people, I feel like family, especially, or friends groups, you know, or just people, you know, society that will tell you like, oh, like that's not the right way to do this. You know, like you should be doing it this way or the way you're living is wrong and blah, blah. But if you know, like in your like gut or in your heart, like this is what I'm supposed to be doing. A lot of people can have that stifled and they'll listen to society. They'll listen to their family. They won't move forward in their life, whether that's like success or, you know, personal growth, whatever. So this is just a subtle reminder to stay sharp, like stay discerning, like, okay, what are the intentions behind this person and what they're saying, right? Is it in my best interest or are they just trying to bring me down because that's how they feel about their life? Like they're not successful, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I have an example of that, I guess. So I had someone close to me. I'm not going to name any names. But
that's okay. Nobody listens to the show.
He kind of said, I was at a dinner with him and someone else. And
okay, so it's a guy.
And he made like a jab, like just a side comment about how I can't keep a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But this person and the other one are in a very unhealthy.
Oh, okay, I know who it is.
Just kidding. Unhealthy and miserable relationship. Like,
We're not miserable all the time. We have our moments.
And for me, it's just like, oh, like they're trying to, you know, project their like unhappiness or shortcomings onto me by saying like, oh, like you can't even keep a relationship. But I know why I go into relationships. Mm. I've historically jumped into relationships to learn about myself and, you know, achieve this like higher state each time, right? To ultimately get to a place of finding the right relationship for me, the harmonious one, the peaceful one that I can build something with, right? A legacy, basically. And just hearing, you know, him and the other one just talk about it. It's just
the like, other one?
I had to like discern like, oh shit, like, you know, is this true? Should I like, you know, snap back and talk shit? And I was like, oh no, like this isn't about me. You know, this is their thing. And I need to ignore it and just like focus on continuing my path, which is like growth in relationships, self-understanding in relationships. Yeah, that was a really important piece for me.
But not even like, because you obviously realized that person was unhappy, like in their long-term relationship, But like, you didn't even like snap back. It's like, oh, rather like jump in and out of relationships and stay in the same one and be like miserable. Like,
yes,
not exactly. Did you tell him that? No. Not even to just like make him aware.
That's the thing with Denise. Like, Denise is like, what? She'll be like, oh yeah, no, like I'm going to say something. You know what I mean? Right. Whereas like me, I'm like, oh, just take the high road, man. Like, whatever.
But that's not like just to say anything like to defend myself. It's also to like, maybe they're not aware. Like, maybe they are seriously not aware.
Oh, I see.
That's, yeah.
And it's like, point. At least I have said that little thing and like I've made my peace. Mm-hmm. And it,
you could have helped them out right there.
No, I've considered that. And I sat with that and I was like, huh, should I have done that? So for me, there are people who can receive that.
So
the way I saw it was like, okay, they're already in this state where they're just like, you know, already lost in their shit, right, and throwing it outwards. So my thing is, if I can just like sit there and hold that like empty like vessel of like not responding, they'll hear themselves like echoing that, right? Like, oh, like, oh, you're just, you know, miserable because you can't keep a relationship. And then when they get no feedback or response, then it's just like bouncing back to them, and then they're just like, oh shit, like I'm projecting my own shit. And for me, in some cases,
some
like,
people maybe, yeah.
Yeah, some people are just going to be like, that's right.
That's right. You say shit. Because he knew it was true, bro.
He knew I was right.
I'll fucking spit knowledge on that fool. I don't know why I made it urban like that. I apologize to the urban community.
Oh my God. Yeah. And for me, I feel like, yeah, like those two people are the type that when you say something, it's just like, okay, whatever. Like, you know what you're talking about. But if you don't say anything, those are the people that are just like, oh fuck, okay. Because I haven't heard shit since, you know. And also too,
another divorce.
Similar to yeah.
Oh, they are?
Oh shit.
They should be.
Getting there.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Separated.
Yeah.
Word it that out, you know.
Yeah.
Keep it positive. Positive vibes only on the pod.
Yeah. So that's something I've had to ignore, and hopefully it, you know, it creates that situation where it's like, oh fuck. Because remember, I just have to like be myself. And for me, it's like, oh, at some point I would hope, but I'm not like attaching my you know self to it. If they see that and they're like, oh shit, like Mark is like super happy and in this like really healthy and just like successful relationship, like they're building something, they're happy, they have their own little family, maybe, right? They'll see that and be like, why am I stuck in this shit relationship? Why am I sitting here being miserable for the last however many years? And I've realized that I actually impact more people when I don't say anything. I just am the thing. And they're just like, wow, that's, I got to change my fucking life. Mm-hmm. But when I try to tell people shit, they're just like, what gives you that authority?
I'm going to do that now. I'm just going to be like, I'm just the thing. I'm here for
you. There you go.
Just come at me, bro. And then, you know, it's like, there's this book that I've been meaning to read forever. It's called like the Stoic Challenge. Mm. And it's about just stoicism and just being calm and not so reactive and stuff. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I feel like that's the strategy.
Yeah. I'm too emotional for it.
Too much drama.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess that other stanza is like, you know, doubles down on that. It's like the pressure always comes from the outside, and try not to let it in where I reside, you know, my heart, my soul. Like, this is my home. This is my path. This is my voice. Like, anything I speak, it's because this is my reality. This is my expression. I'm no longer taking on other people's beliefs, right? Like I said earlier. and I realized I lived my life just sort of like conforming to other people's, you know, wants and needs. And it was very, heavy. It was obstructive. Like I couldn't live my life. I couldn't even focus on what my life is supposed to be like because I was so busy like serving other people and meeting their needs, you know, sort of in an enmeshed way, right? Like a codependent sort of energy.
Yeah.
Oh God, like, ugh.
Yeah.
Don't get me started on that. And the last line is, I don't know if it played on that snippet. Maybe it was like later on in the song, but it's like, within my heart, I grow with each step. Stand firm in where the path goes next. I know that where it goes is where I need to be. The more lessons rained down, the more blessings I see. Yeah. So for me, that speaks to a little bit of what I said earlier, where it's like trusting in each moment. Cause I've had enough experience with like really painful situations where I just felt like, this is it. Like my world is ending. And in some ways, and I told someone near to me this recently, I was like, you feel like the world's ending because it is. Mm-hmm. Like this world that you created, this right, like, right. Oh, this is what the rest of my life is going to look like. Like that's dead. Mm-hmm. Like, of course you feel fucked up about it. Mm-hmm. That's happened enough times in my life where now I'm just like, oh, every time I thought that, like a year later, like my life is like twice as good as it was. So now it finally hit me. I feel like it finally has been integrated where it's like, if I go through something else fucked up, like I'm going to accept it with grace. Like I'm going to be okay with like crying my freaking eyes out. Like I'm okay with that now too. Like, you know, there was that whole thing with like me trying to cry, you know, and it's just like, I would just like hold it in. Cause I'm like, oh, that's not like masculine. That's not manly. That's like baby shit. Right. To a point where it's like, oh, I can do this. Right. Like I hated, I avoided crying because it was like really like, oh shit, like will I survive the crying session, right? Like it's just so overwhelming. But now it's like, dude, fuck that. Like for me, I don't think of it in terms of like, oh, this is an emotional whatever. For me, it's like it's a release. Like there's so much stress built up in my body. Crying for me is a good way to just like release the stress. It's like a physical thing, right? Whereas other people have like exercise, you know, combat sports, whatever, dude. Like,
it'd be cool if like some people did combat sports and cried at the same time.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's a thing.
Super
somewhere.
Hardcore.
Yeah.
Dude, I just saw, and I've seen it before, I think they got it from Bob's Burgers, where Tina is afraid to ride a horse. So she just like has the, what is it? Like the stick on a pony on a stick.
Oh,
and
right,
she's going around.
I
and,
love that.
And so that was a real life thing. Mm-hmm. Like I saw a video of like the little girls, like with their little, what are they called?
Hobby horses, like a hobby horse.
I don't know if that's what I used to call it.
Oh, wonderful.
But anyways, yeah, and they would do their little dances like with the little stick in the head.
Oh man,
the horse head, and I was like, what the?
That's funny.
Anyway, well, sorry.
No, that's good.
I was like, so those things can be a real thing. They're probably a real thing somewhere.
Yeah. So right now, I'm actually like reprogramming some of my beliefs, because I realized. So this came up for me yesterday, and I was sharing this with my guys and Madi as well. Because the closer we get, the more I realize there's a part of me that's like, oh, I don't want this. Like, I don't want this peace. You know, like, don't be all lovey-dovey with me in the morning. Like, ugh. Like, it's ugh. But then if she pulls away, then I'm like, no way. Like, what are you doing? Like, give me love.
That's the drama, dude.
Yeah, dude. So I'm like, dude, what is that? So I realize I have this conscious desire, like it is my conscious desire to have a peaceful, loving relationship, right? Harmonious relationship, not just intimate, but like friends and family, right? But the subconscious belief there is, well, love is actually turmoil. It's verbal abuse, you know, because that's what I grew up with, you know, like I saw my dad like beat the shit out of my mom as a kid. And I was like, what is happening? Yeah, it was just interesting because as emotional as I am, like as a kid, I was like super stoic about it. I was like, oh, yeah, it's crazy, you know? But like, yeah, anyway.
I heard you say you were super stoked about it. Oh, no. I was like, what the fuck? But then I was like, oh, wait, no, he's stoic.
Yeah, so as like contradictory as it sounds, I actually have a tough time tapping into my emotions. Like it's spontaneous, right? But I found the tool for, so when you're reprogramming a subconscious belief, you want to like affirm the new belief, but and like repeat it like every day. But at the same time, you have to attach it to an emotion. So for me, I'm like, oh, this is a struggle because I don't know how to just like call up an emotion. Like, how do you do that? So when I was running the like 9.5 miles yesterday, I realized like, oh, I actually do have a tool for doing that. So my little secret is when I'm running, I play these like Dragon Ball Z mixed with EDM like mixes.
Oh Jesus.
Yeah. So you have the like the monologues that happen in there, and then the like screaming like while EDM is like playing in the background. And like in those moments I like sprint. And like when that happens, like when they scream, like I feel this like huge wave of emotions, and I'm just like crying while I'm running.
Oh, Jesus.
So while I'm crying running, I'm also actually like reaffirming the new belief. You know, like I am loved, I am supported, like love is peace, you know, like love is harmony, love is like all these things, right? And yeah, I just feel like, so I woke up the next day. So this actually happened, the talk happened 2 days ago, the run happened yesterday. And I woke up and I immediately noticed that shift. So like, I was like, hey, good morning, beautiful. Like, how are you? She's like, what? Yeah. And I was like, oh, snap. Like, I'm already shifting that belief. And now I'm starting to appreciate and love the fact that, you know, like this is a harmonious, like peaceful relationship. Like I'm starting to pull away from that, like longing for. So I thought I've been longing for my ex, mm-hmm. right? I was just sitting there like, why do I like long for her? Like I have this beautiful thing that I've wanted my entire life. Why? And I tell
her, she's a person. She's not a thing.
Right. And the beautiful thing about her too is that I tell her all these things and she's super receptive. It doesn't take it personally. It's like, why are you talking about this other woman? You know, no, she hears it all, man. And
maybe she wants three-way.
It's possible. You never know.
Oh man. And so I'm like, why do I still long for her? Why do I still long for this person? And for me, it wasn't about the drama or the whatever. Like it was like this person. But now that I'm shifting these beliefs, I'm starting to feel like I'm finally beginning to like release that and just be like seeing it like from a clearer perspective. Like, no, that was like, I mean, I did like love her deeply. I probably say like for the definition of love in that way, I've loved her more than anybody else in my life. Like I was like so into her, man. But now that I pull away, it's like, oh man, like that was rough. Like there was a lot of sadness there. Like there was a lot of aloneness there. And I don't want to frame it like I was the only one suffering, right? Like we just like didn't mesh well, which is crazy because you can love someone so much and like want to change and like grow into like what the other person needs. But at some point it's like, yo, like you just like are not compatible, you know? And it sucks, you know? Because I also thought we were like extremely good friends. And I tried to preserve that as well. And it just like, you know,
no,
no.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'd still be open to that. I just don't know where she is. She just like disappeared.
Wait. So like you've no idea where she went. She like disappeared from the face of the earth.
Yeah. Which has been like difficult because I'm just like, I feel like ghosted. Like, yo, like how do you ghost a friend? Like, fuck.
Yeah.
But you know, like my guys helped me realize like, dude, I'm only thinking about like my situation here. Like, she must be super fucked up about it too, right? Like she might need space. Like not everybody is like me where it's like, okay, we just had this 5-year relationship. It's fucked up. Like let's be best friends. You know, some people are like, yo, I need to fucking go grieve like alone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know? And I mean, that's pretty much like how the relationship was too. Like when she needed space, she took her space.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was suffering, like I come closer. So I'm like, help me soothe this. Whereas, you know, some people are like, yo, fuck off so I can go soothe myself. So where are we going with that?
Oh, you were just going line by line with the song.
Oh, yeah. I think that was like the last.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Last line of the song, yeah.
That was a very in-depth
analysis
of the song. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Denise, what did you think about the song?
I dug it. It was very positive, but white boy reggae is like a new thing to me. Mm. Like, I was waiting. I was like, he has this accent when he's singing. And I was waiting for him to stop singing so I could see if he had this accent. And he had no accent. So
referring when we're watching the live performance.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I watched the live performance of the song, like, in preparation for this. Or Rod just had it playing. Mm. And there's no accent. And I was like, is that cultural? Like, what is it?
Appropriation.
Cultural appropriation. And I was like, I don't know because I know country singers do it. Mm. And it's obviously like this is like a genre or whatever. Mm. And I not this specific like accent, I guess, like, but I've done a country accent in my song, but it's kind of making fun of a country song or whatever. And I'm just like, I don't know. I was like, is that allowed? But I know a white boy genre is like a thing, but. That was like my only takeaway. It just made me wonder. Mm. Like, I just have to look at like all sides and everything. And that was the one like red flag for me. And mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So Denise doesn't like white people. That's okay. same thing Denise was saying. I really enjoyed the lyrics. I was like, oh man, that's like a really deep message. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And then I was watching the live performance and it was like, it was at some festival show or something. Uh-huh. And so there's just all these people, and obviously it's a concert, though. I guess when he does it live, I don't know if you've seen him do it live or something, or like a video on YouTube or something. But at this particular performance, it seemed like that was like the closer, like the closing, the ending song.
Yeah.
And then kind of like toward the end of the song, he does this whole thing where he's like, oh, I want you to think about something that's been like keeping you down or holding you back or da 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 da. And then just like picture it in your mind. And then we're just going to like scream and like let it out. Right. Mm-hmm. And then all these people are just doing that. Right. And I was like, and then it got a little like hokey to me. Or I was like,
like culty? Like cult?
Well, no, not culty, but just, I mean, a lot of people do that. It doesn't have to be a cult.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, and I was just like, okay. I was like, I get it. You're in a concert. When you're there, it's a different thing than watching a video. You know what I mean? So I was like, all right, I get it. So then I went on his website, you know, trying to get, because he doesn't have a Wikipedia page. I was like, where's his Wikipedia? How am I going to get all these facts, right? So the only thing that was there was either like his Instagram bio or his website. So I went on the website. I was kind of reading through it. Like, looking at him, he gives off this vibe, but then I went on the website, and it was very, like, corporate.
Oh, really?
And I was like, why do you, what? I was, because he has, like, I guess he sells, like, these bags or something. And I was like, okay. And I get it. It's like, you got to make money, right? I guess, to survive. Or, like, you know, live in a society, like, that's based off money and capitalism and all that. But, yeah, it just felt kind of weird. And that's my problem, I feel. It's like, I kind of feel like, bro, you can't be trying to make money if you're telling all this like shit about, you know, finding yourself and namaste and all this, right? And that was always my problem in school with like religion and stuff, where I was like, bro, you can't be preaching me all this shit and then you got all these people doing all this stuff. You know what I mean? It's like talking both sides of your mouth. Like, that's some bullshit. Ignoring all of that, if I just heard the song first time ever, didn't do any research or anything, I'd be like, oh man, this is a cool message. I dig it. I love the mandolin in the song. I just dig it. And that was one really cool thing that he mentioned in the website, where he's just very like just acoustics, doesn't really like all the extra stuff that a lot of music has going on nowadays. So in the website it read, in an era that's so saturated with unnatural sounds and overproduced music, satsang, how do you pronounce that?
Like satsang,
okay, who is built upon the belief that songs should be able to stand alone and reveal their power and soul with just an acoustic guitar and voice in an oasis of relief. Obviously, music can be anything. Music can be whatever you want it to be. Like, there's EDM, which is like nothing but like computer music and shit. And Dragon Ball Z characters in the background. And all that. but there is something just beautiful about being able to strip down a song and just having the lyrics and like the guitar. And then it's just like, okay, yeah, this is like its purest essence. This is like it, you know what I mean? And being able to still hold your attention and connect with you, even though it's so like stripped down. Like, I like that. And I dug the song overall.
I feel like that's like really new for me. Like, I've never been a lyric person. I mean, I think I told you this before. I've been singing the same song since like the 80s. And I still don't know like a full song. I've always just been like a music person. Like, I feel it. I hear it. Like, it's, it makes me feel good, right? Stimulates emotion, basically. But I don't know. Like, there's maybe like three songs in my life that have really hit me. And like, for me, this is one of them. Like, oh, this is exactly the journey I'm on right now. Like, this is where I am. I like play it like 10 times a day, like at least. Just to like sort of like reaffirm this thing that it's like I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be right now. I've always appreciated like people who get into the artist and what they're about and all those things, but for me it's just like, I don't know, that's it's too much for me to go into. Like, I don't really care about their story. Like,
and a lot of times that's better, because like what happened to me right now, before I got into it, I was like, yeah, man, I dig it. And then once I got into it, I was like, it's kind of corporate. Fuck this guy. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you also have to like, can you separate the artist from
the
art? This
is like the lifelong debate for this podcast.
Michael Jackson, like, and R. Kelly. And like, what if this guy's like total like cult murderer? Like, I don't know. Like,
well, I mean, if you're a murderer, that's like, diddling kids is okay, but cult murderer, come on now.
Right, like there's the person who's like full of flaws or whatever, and then there's like the message that is being like,
well, I guess it also depends on what they're singing about, right? Like, if it's Michael Jackson, he's just singing dancey poppy tunes, it's like, whatever. But if it's this guy who's like, namaste, bro, you gotta find yourself and run through the forest naked, and then he's like a misogynist or like a total asshole, then you're like, fuck this guy, like, what the fuck. But that doesn't mean you can't just take the message and be like, okay, yeah, like maybe he didn't live by what he sang about, but the message is still true, and it could still apply to me. I can make it work for me, you know what I mean?
I think there's been a lot of like spiritual leaders like that where like their words have like stood the test of time, but then like you look back and like, oh, that guy was the fucking like
fucking Jesus, am I right?
That guy had his hands on everybody. Yeah, no, I totally get that. I agree with that. So I haven't looked into him. So what I'm learning lately in like business, and there's this thing called wealth dynamics that shows you like how when you're like building a business, like you need a team or whatever. So for me, I'm called like the supporter, right? So I'm actually the person who like goes and networks and like keeps the team together, right? And then there's someone who does like the back end stuff. And then there's the like creator. So the creator actually has nothing to do with like all the corporate shit. Mm-hmm. Like they just create, but the team puts that out. So I'm wondering if like you guys delve deep enough into that to know if like he's actually the one that's being like super corporate-y, or if like that might be just his team that allows him to create.
I definitely got that vibe where I was like, oh, okay, yeah. Because everything looks so professionally done on the website and stuff, and like the social media thing, and everything's just like so like, it seems like very like top notch. Mm-hmm. I was like, I highly doubt that this dude is doing all of that.
Right.
So I'm just like, yeah, so he probably does have like a team that does that mm-hmm. for him. Because yeah, like you see people that are like, they're the creative force, but then they don't have a team behind them. And so they're also the one doing the website and doing this and doing that. And you're like, yeah, sucks. I can tell because your website is ass. And like, you hardly ever post anything. Like you have like zero followers.
Yeah,
fucking like loser. One, not one,
that one comedian yesterday. We saw this comedian yesterday. Like he was kind of like,
well, give him the name. Yo. So he can get some followers.
Follow Andy Hendricks. Yeah, like he was super funny, dude, super relatable. Like I felt he was relatable. I thought he was funnier than the guy that we went to go see. And but yeah, he was like, oh yeah, he's like, you could follow me. He's like, do it right now. He's like, because I'm trying to break like 3,000 followers. I was like, oh shit, dude.
And we thought it was a joke, but he really
he had just broken like 3,000. But he was older, you know, you could tell like some of the stuff. I was like, yeah, this guy doesn't know how to work social media. He's probably late to the game
that's great.
The opener, who's like some super young dude, had like 15K, and then like obviously like 133K was like the headliner, you know.
Denise is all about the numbers, you know. She's crunching numbers.
I just think it's interesting.
Looking at the ratios, how many followers versus how many followees.
That's true, yeah. Anyways.
Yeah. Anyways, all right.
It's interesting to me.
Thank you for the song, Mark. It was beautiful. And unfortunately, we don't have time for any more songs. So that's the episode for this month, everybody. Yeah, all right, Denise, take it away. I'll let you do your song. I'll allow you to do your song.
I'll look up the quote while the song is playing because I forgot my notebook or whatever. So when Mark gave the topic, it was kind of very open-ended, you know, where just like what song inspires you to become like better, mm-hmm. right? I really was like, where do I go? I kind of wanted to go with a smaller artist, maybe talking like more politically about like, you know, political stuff, you know, and how to, you know, stick it to the man and yada, yada, yada. I thought about that route. But I have a passion planner. It's like a journal / a planner, and it gives you a quote for every week. Mm-hmm. And I'll come back with a quote. But I saw the quote and I was like, oh yeah. And I thought of this one song that's on my Emulate playlist. So songs that I want my stuff to like be like. And it's called I'm Not a Good Person by Pat the Bunny. Mm-hmm. And it's just about being like him just laying out all his flaws. And that's where he's at right now. So play my song, I'm Not a Good Person by Pat the Bunny.
I'm not a good person. Ask anyone who knows me. I'm mean and bitter and a failure at everything that I say I believe. I'm not a good person. Ask anyone who loves me. I never write, I never call, I never think about anyone at all. I'm not a good person, no matter what I do. My exhaustion will consume me, and I'm too tired for the truth. I'm not a good person, I'm sure you're not surprised. It must be pouring out my sweat glands, it must be someplace in my eyes. I don't know why I am this way. I've been like this since I can remember. I try to keep up with everything I know I should do, but then I'll fall to pieces anyway. I don't know why I am this way.
That was I'm Not a Good Person by Pat the Bunny. The quote that reminded me of this song was, knowing yourself is the beginning of all wisdom by Aristotle. And like, yeah, that's the truth. Like, before you can like improve yourself or like make improvements on yourself or whatever, better yourself, you have to know what's wrong with you. You have to admit all of your flaws. And like, that was just my whole take on this. And just him just saying like, I'm not a good person and I don't know why. And like, it's he said like, he's tired, he's exhausted, you know what I mean? And working on yourself takes like time and energy as well. So if you're just like tired or whatever it is, that can be a hard journey. And I don't really know anything about this artist except for that he struggled with sobriety. But apparently he's clean now. Rod did some research on him. I dig this guy because it's just him and his guitar. And obviously he struggled with some demons. And I just admire that about any artist. And I love when it's just like putting all that emotion and truth out, just him and his guitar. And he sounds good. You know, is he like a freaking Josh Groban? Like, no. But he gets his point across with the emotion and the truth. And that's what I love. So, yeah.
Josh Groban, for anybody who doesn't know, is a very popular singer. He's like a crooner. Sings a lot of staples.
Man, if you've like listened to this podcast, you know, like, Rod, thank you, Rod. You finally know who Josh Groban is.
I remembered,
is.
Brad.
Let's give him a round of applause.
I'm working on myself.
Every
I'm
time
progress.
He's like, who the fuck is Josh Groban? I'm like, dude, we've had this conversation outside the podcast so many times.
It's true. It's facts.
He used to date Kat Dennings with them big old titties.
Ooh, big titty goth girl. So I guess I did do a little bit of research on the artist, and so he's retired. I think he retired back in, where did I put,
2016.
Yeah, he announced his retirement, and he was in a few bands, but then he did like two solo albums that he worked on after moving to Arizona after sobering up and all that. He's part of this whole like anarcho punk folk rock scene or whatever. That can be pretty hardcore. Think like Against Me, like early Against Me, and how everybody kind of turned against them after they got pretty popular and signed to like a major record label and all that. So think like that, right? So this guy, Pat the Bunny, Patrick Schneewies? I don't know his last name. I'm sorry,
yeah,
Patrick.
I can't pronounce it either.
He kind of had a history of like social anxiety and just being awkward and stuff. And you can imagine that's pretty difficult for somebody when you finish playing a show and everybody wants to meet you and talk to you and stuff. So he was just like, yeah, it just got to be too much. And like, I was like, nah, dude. Like, so he kind of stepped away from music because of that. And then also, he didn't really identify with what he wrote about when he was younger anymore. So he just didn't feel like it was honest for him to sing these songs in public to people. Because he was like, yeah, like I still believe in certain socialist ideals, I guess, but I'm not like a hardcore anarchist, you know. So yeah, he felt like it would be dishonest for him to still sing those songs, and he wanted to write other music, but then he thought, you know, the hardcore fans would be like, oh dude, this guy's like a pussy now, like he doesn't sing about like the truth anymore, he's just writing these gay ass songs.
Hey,
there's nothing wrong being gay, I'm just saying. Anyways, yeah, so that's why he kind of stepped away from it. And according to his brother, he's practicing Buddhist now, and he does a lot of meditation. And yeah, so that's kind of like the little backstory that I was able to find on him. You were kind of mentioning how you have to tune in to the universe and be receptive of like what the universe is telling you, all that. I guess there's something to be said for like how artists are more sensitive to these things. And so they just feel things more strongly than us common folk, I guess, or me common folk. I'm not an artist, so I wouldn't know. I was reading that book that I was telling you about, The Creative Act by Rick Rubin. Get ready, everybody, because I'm going to quote the shit out of that book like forever now.
Yeah.
That's like, it's a seminal work. So definitely check it out if you feel so inclined. Anyways, but yeah, he talks about how, because when I read that about him, I was like, well, he could have just continued making music and maybe just not like put it out or like whatever. But Rick Rubin kind of says like part of being creative is, yeah, like eventually you do put it out and you share it with people, and your desire to get that message out and express yourself has to be higher than your desire to protect yourself. Because obviously once you put it out, people are going to criticize it. People are going to scrutinize it. People are going to do whatever they're going to do with it. Right. But you just have to be strong enough to realize like, you know what, like it's out there now, like whatever, like people can do whatever they want with it. And something else that I thought was interesting was Satsang, your artist guy. I didn't get his name. I did. Drew McManus. McAnus. Anyways, McAnus. Drew. It's
wow.
McManus. I don't know. Anyways, so Drew and Pat over here, they both struggled with addiction at one point. And that's another thing that Rick Rubin kind of touched on in his book, that because artists are so sensitive and they feel everything like so much heightened as opposed to everyone else, a lot of them do turn to like drugs and things like that to kind of like deal with that, I don't know, sensitivity or something. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and then you get the whole thing about like the tortured artist and all of that, which he said that doesn't necessarily have to be the case. Like that's just like a myth that people just kind of like romanticize and are like, oh, you gotta be a tortured artist. So anyways, so yeah, thank you for the song. I thought it was a good song.
Yeah, yeah, I really liked it too. I think the addiction piece that you're talking about, so for me, addiction is a way to like avoid the truth of your situation, right? Like, okay, shit, if I become aware of something, then fuck, like I won't be able to handle it. So I need to numb myself out. I need to like detach from it, right? So I think when you have artists like this who have this message of like, I'm shit, I'm whatever, life sucks. I think it's actually a beautiful thing because it's part of the whole like movement towards, I guess, collective awareness and collective like consciousness, like raising that, right? Because like some people are more aware of themselves and other people like aren't, right? And if you just focus on like, oh, the people who are like super aware, like, okay, like what's that going to do for the collective, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you have people like in this part of their phase where they're able to like send this message out, and it might seem like, oh, okay, this guy's just talking about whatever, right? Like his life sucks, right? But no, what I think it's doing is actually, because it's in a musical fashion, like it creates waves of awareness to the listeners. Mm-hmm. Where it's like most people I feel operate unconsciously throughout their life, right? Like they just respond to things,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Or react to things. And yeah, as they say, like you said earlier, like the first step is awareness. But like how many people are going to be hit with that awareness when they like repeatedly hear these songs where it's like, oh, I can relate. So I think even before awareness, it's like relatability.
Right.
So it's like, oh yeah, that's super familiar. Oh shit. Yeah. Like he's going through what I'm going through. Oh shit. I'm going through shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, and even seeing their journey towards like sobriety, it's just like, you know what? Like if they can do it, these artists who went through the exact same thing that I've been going through, then like I can do it. And then that sort of like jump starts the journey towards deeper self-awareness, assimilating into like the collective, you know, towards a better, I guess, society, better way of living. It like inspires this drive towards knowing yourself, which is like the beginning of like knowing the other, right? And like working together towards something, right?
So touching back on that, where when you do write about things that are personal like that, or like your own personal struggles, and then people connect to that, I think that's what leads to this whole like, dude, like I get you, like you get me, you see me for who I am, you did this song and it touched exactly what I was feeling. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And then in some people it does create that whole like super fandom thing that I guess kind of turned him off to the whole thing, where he was like, okay, like you kind of getting a little too crazy for me. So yeah, I guess it's kind of like a double-edged sword where it's just like you want to be there for people and express yourself and be able to have them connect with what you're putting out, but then at the same time it can backfire a little bit.
Yeah, it'd be super like overwhelming for the artist too, because then everybody projects their shit onto you. So it's like, well, we've gone through the same thing, so that means like we're gonna like, I don't know, whatever, right?
We're best friends.
Yeah, like we're gonna do this again. And then they like project their like wants and desires onto the artist, and the artist is just like, dude, what the fuck? Like I have my own life, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's not like yours in some ways. So
right. Yeah, it's like that was a 3-minute song about this one moment that happened in my life. Like, yeah, I get it that it was super relatable to your life, but then there's like the whole other 99% of my life that has nothing to do with yours. That's kind of like an example of like parasocialism, right? Mm-hmm. That person feels like they have insight into your life because you shared this about yourself. Right. Or now you see it even more with social media, where people are following celebrities or whoever they're following, or they listen to podcasts all the time. And I think podcasts especially kind of make that, depending on what the podcast is about and what the people talk about, but a lot of people on podcasts or on YouTube videos or whatever they're putting out, they share very personal content. And people that subscribe to that and like are viewers, listeners, whatever, and they listen to every single episode and they know everything, if there's ever a moment where you meet, then it's a very one-sided kind of encounter, because they know everything about you and you know nothing about them. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, that could also be overwhelming, you know what I mean? Where it's just kind of like, oh shit, it's like kind of like not a fair playing field, where yeah, it's a weird dynamic, I guess.
there's something that happens too when you speak to like a mass of people. I think because like a lot of us are very, what do you call it? Like not hive mentality, but when you have also not groupthink, but like a mob mentality.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So people are like mob mentality. Yeah. So that might not even stimulate that self-awareness. It might just be like, oh, okay. Like we're part of this group, right?
Yeah.
And it's funny, you guys like mentioned Jesus earlier. So I feel like, so there have been like, you know, gurus and Buddhas who have like spoken one-on-one to people and it's been super transformative because they don't like, oh, you're just like me. So, you know, like we're the same. No, it's just like, yo, this is the wisdom I have to share. And like, you're able to detach from that. But when you send this message to like a group of people, it becomes a cult. Like,
yeah.
Think of like Christianity, Catholicism, like all the religions, like it becomes a cult and it's no longer about the message. It's about this like worship of something else like outside of you. And it twists the message and yeah, people can, well, I mean, you've seen what religion has done to people, right? Like,
I have.
Yeah. So that's the like drawback of like messages in music, right? Like it can reach a whole shit load of people, but it can also send like the wrong message, or people can twist the message, right?
Yeah.
I'm actually like quite similar in the way that an artist like presents himself. So I think there are two types of people. There's selfish people and there's non-selfish people. And I mean, we grew up with the idea that selfish people are like bad, right? Like you shouldn't be selfish. Like you should treat others, you know, better than yourself and give to others before you give to yourself. But I've learned recently, like that's kind of stupid. Like some people are designed to be selfish. So I'm actually designed to be selfish. And the more I try to like focus on someone else's needs, their wants, their vision, the more like frustrated I am, the more I can't actually show up for them. There are people who are designed to serve and to like help other people get to a certain place in whatever way they need. Right. But selfish people are here to discover themselves. So that's the journey I'm on, right? Like I'm here to discover myself and learn myself and share myself because it's inspiring. People who are focused on other people aren't inspiring. They're just like, you know, deep empathetic, like connectors, but selfish people are inspiring. They're the ones who just by living their life will get people to like make a movement, you know, like
Mark, are you trying to start a cult? Is that what you're telling us right now?
So again, my email is yeah. So
yeah, I get that. All right. Mm-hmm. Denise, thank you for that song. It was beautiful.
Yeah, great song.
Again, I'm Not a Good Person by Pat the Bunny. All right. And for the final song of this month, one song immediately jumped to the front of my brain. And I was like, oh, this song. Duh. It's kind of like my mantra. Like there's a few little lines here and there that I'm like, yeah, dude. Yeah. I don't listen to it 10 times a day. But every now and then, like I do play it and I'm just like, oh, yeah. And I just love this album in general. A lot of the themes that are in the album are really good. Like this. Anyways, I'm getting ahead of myself. So yeah, that's the first song that popped in my head. Then another song popped up, Down in the Streets by Carsey Blanton. But then I feel like right now that you pointed out that Pat the Bunny was already kind of like a political... No, well, that song was a more personal message, but he does have a lot of political songs and stuff.
Yeah.
And so Carsey Blanton is kind of similar to that, right? She's a singer-songwriter. She has a lot of... Well, she writes about like political stuff, but then she also writes a lot about love because she's like polyamorous and all this stuff, but that's a whole other different thing. But yeah, so I thought about going with one of her songs because it was very relatable to, I guess, some of the things that we've been going through now, but in a lot of ways, what capitalist societies have been going through since capitalism was put in place, I guess. Anyway, so I ended up going with this song because I also thought it was funny that your song is I Am and the Denise song is I'm Not a Good Person. And then my song is I Am Mine by Pearl Jam. So a lot of I's going on and we're talking about self-realization and enlightenment and all that. So I was like, oh, it makes sense. It's about the self. So yeah. So anyway, so I went with I Am Mine by Pearl Jam. It's off 2002's Riot Act. And as I was saying, this album is kind of pretty special to me because it was like the first Pearl Jam album that I like really got into. Before that, I was aware of Pearl Jam, but I was like, oh, you know, just like the singles and stuff. Like I never really got into like any of the albums or anything. And then right around this time, I met this chick in school or something. I was like, oh man, she likes Pearl Jam. Maybe I should listen to some more Pearl Jam, you know, get a little more into it, you know? And then this was their latest album at that time. And I don't know. I think I watched like back in the day, VH1 used to have this series called Storytellers.
Oh yeah.
And I could have sworn it was Pearl Jam Storytellers, but I've searched for it far and wide and I can never find it. But it was basically the same setup where it was like just an acoustic set And then they would kind of talk about the songs in between and like the writing process or how they came up with it or whatever. And but yeah, I've Googled all over the place and I can never find it.
It wasn't behind the music?
No, no. Because they were playing just songs off Riot Act.
Oh.
And so I don't know what it was. But anyways, whatever. That's the thing with music, right? It's like you can listen to something forever and ever and you're just, or like a few times where like people will tell you, hey, check out this artist, check out this song. And you're just not in the right headspace at that time. And you're like, nah, dude, that fucking sucked. And then you'll just hear the exact same song like X amount of time later. And you're just like, holy shit, this is like so powerful. You know what I mean? That happened with System of a Down. Because like Patrick, our friend Patrick from way back in like high school days, he swears that he told me about their debut album back when it first came out. And I was like, dude, this is trash. Like, I don't fucking like it. And then junior year or senior year, I think, you were really into System of a Down too. And then like it was like Toxicity at that point. Mm-hmm. And we were like, yeah, this is the fucking shit. This is so good. And then Patrick was like, dude, fuck you, man. Like, I told you about this band like 2 years ago and you didn't like them. And I was like, fuck you, man. And then I was like, you just didn't sell it. You gotta be a better salesman, dude. Like, Mark's over here singing all the words and shit.
I know.
And I was like, you just gave me the CD and we're like, listen to this, bro. It's gonna blow your mind. It's like, that doesn't help. So same thing with this album. It was just like the right album at the right time. Mm-hmm. Which is weird because that was around the same time that we were really into System of a Down, which was like really like heavy and like just like totally different vibe. And then there was this album, which is more like mellow and.
But I feel like you're all over the place. So.
I am all over the place. That's true. But anyway, yeah. So I just really connected with this album. A lot of the themes at the time, I didn't really understand the themes. But then later on, I went back and like I looked more into it or like I read more things. And I was like, oh, so it deals a lot with like existentialism and just like being a human and getting to know yourself. So I guess those themes kind of go together. All of that to say, yeah. So they wrote this song about the June 30th festival show that they played in Denmark where 9 fans died. They were like crushed to death, basically. Oh, wow. While they were playing. And so this kind of like really fucked them up for a while. And they kind of took a hiatus. They didn't tour for a while. And it almost broke up the band and stuff. And then shortly thereafter was like 9/11 and all that. And so that was all the stuff that was going on. You know, 9/11 was more like a global event that I guess everybody was affected by in one way or another. And then, you know, the festival tragedy was a more personal thing. But yeah, so they wrote this song about that event. But because of some of the themes and the timing, a lot of people also thought that it had to do with like 9/11 and stuff. And then later on, I guess it did kind of become, it didn't become about 9/11, but when they played MSG, the MSG DVD, Madison Square Garden, it was the first time back in New York since 9/11. And they kind of mentioned that right before they got into this song. So in a roundabout way, I guess it kind of became related with that. Yeah, anyways. So this is my song. This is I Am Mine by Pearl Jam. And I hope everybody digs it.
And there's west and there's everywhere life. I know I was born and I know that I'll die. The in-between is mine. I am mine. And the feeling gets left behind. All the innocence lost at one time. Significant.
There we go. That was a little snippet of I Am Mine by Pearl Jam off 2002's Riot Act. That thing is like 21 years old, man.
Oh my God.
Dude, that's, I was tripping out. In preparation for the episode, I was, you know, just watching old videos and stuff and doing all that. The music video for this song is the first music video that they did since Do the Evolution, which was, I think, in like 98, I wrote down.
And that was like animated. It
was, and that was animated, yeah. Because they hadn't appeared physically in a music video since Jeremy, right? Because of that whole controversy or whatever. So in a way, this was like a lot of firsts for the band, right? So like they came back after almost like breaking up. Yeah, they started doing music videos again. And the reason why they had stopped appearing in music videos is because they didn't like, well, besides the whole thing with Jeremy, they also weren't fans of like the whole lip syncing during like the video making process. Mm. So the way they got around that is they basically just recorded like a live performance of this song, like in a studio setting. To me, like, and again, because this is when I really got into Pearl Jam, this is like short hair Eddie Vedder.
Oh, yeah,
when
yeah.
he had the, like the buzz cut. And that's yeah. like, to me, that's Eddie Vedder, man. It's like, yes, that's buzz your hair again,
that's
man.
That's ugly Eddie Vedder.
And then, yeah, yeah. So to me, it's like, dude, that's like prime Eddie. But, you know, whatever. He grows his hair and whatever. It's all right. Why did I bring that up? Oh, right. So in my head, I was like, dude, that video is closer to their debut album than we are to that video at now. You know what I mean? Like, that was like 10 years, 11-ish years from like their debut when they got big. And we're like now 20 years away from like that. You know, that always trips me out when that kind of thing comes up. Like when people go like, oh, like Nintendo to Atari is closer now than we are to PlayStation 2. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're just like, what the fuck? Because you think back and you're like, dude, Atari is like fucking ancient. Mm-hmm. But then now it's like, dude, PlayStation was just yesterday. What are you talking about? Anyways, sorry. Time to me just fucking messes up my brain.
I know. Or when the youngsters are like, oh, yeah, that's like classic.
Yes! Era.
And I'm just like, what do you mean? That was the 90s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, yeah.
It's like, I was in high school when I played that game. What are you talking about? Like, I wasn't born yet, dude. What the fuck? So, yeah, that always trips me up. But, yeah, so anyways, back to the song, I guess. So, thing number one, which is something that we touch on here every now and then, ever since Andy and Gil from No Application Fee were on the show, listening to any Pearl Jam album, I feel, with headphones on, it's just like another experience, man. Like they do like really good with like a stereo mix. I don't know, they even have like those a few songs off binaural where they do like the binaural recordings where like it sounds like it's like around your head and nice. Shit. It's kind of like what people use
ASMR
now. Yeah. Mm. Fucking weird thing. But anyways, whatever. Pearl Jam did it first, right? And it wasn't for a weird thing. But another thing that, I'm sorry. I'm going to try my best not to bring this up every fucking time. But another thing that Rick Rubin mentioned in the creative act is, as much as, you know, music sounds great when you're listening to it on headphones, you should also try to listen to it just like on speakers, like away from you, like in a room setting. And, you know, whatever. You could be like a snob about it and be like, oh, you have to be like a hi-fi setup. It doesn't have to be. Just like in a room setting with speakers, because when you're listening to something in your headphones, only your ears are really the ones processing the sound. Whereas when you have it in a room, like your whole body, there's like bass notes that like only certain parts of your body can feel when it hits your body and shit like that. That's why, and Denise mentioned this, that's why like live music is so great. Mm-hmm. Because yeah, like you just feel it, you know what I mean? And that was something that the guys from Roma Part talked about when they were here. Was, yeah, when you go to, I think they had said Idols, they went to Idols, and they went to Turnstile. And yeah, like, it's just like the bass just like really hit you, man. Like, you could just feel it like shake your freaking core and shit. Yeah. And it's just like, yeah, man, like, so anyway, so all that. And now, as far as like the lyrics go, like, yeah, I just love like that opening verse. The selfish, they're all standing in line, faith and hoping to buy themselves time. Me, I figure as each breath goes by, I only know my mind. Yeah, like that's basically the only thing you know for sure, right? It's like what you are inside and who you are. And back to what you guys were saying, right? The way to like, I guess, enlightenment or to like work on yourself or improve yourself is to know who you are first and then work from there, right? And that's kind of the whole message of this song, of just like, I know I was born and I know that I'm going to die eventually one day. And like what's in between, like that's all I have, right? And that's also another very powerful message about, you know, a lot of times people that maybe aren't as spiritual or something get a bad rap because they're like, oh, dude, but like, what the fuck? So like, you think you just die and like, that's it? Like, this is it? Like, and it's like, yeah, why isn't that more beautiful than what the way some people interpret an afterlife, which is like, oh, it's okay. My reward is in heaven. So like, I don't have to worry about things right here. And it's like, okay, yeah, but then what if there isn't a thing? And then you just kind of like didn't do anything. You know what I mean? And that's something that I struggle with because I always try to be more in the moment and do more things. But at the same time, I let a lot of fears and self-consciousness get in the way of enjoying certain things. But yeah, anyway, so that's basically my song. I really enjoy that song. I enjoy that whole album. I think if anybody wants to check out a Pearl Jam album and only knows like the singles and stuff, go with Riot Act. I think that was like the last really awesome Pearl Jam album. All the albums since have had a few gems here and there, but that's like start to finish, like I could just listen to that album forever and ever, and I love it. Anyways, open it up to you guys.
That same line that you were saying towards the end there, I think he said, "I know I was born and I will die. Everything in between." I think he said, "I am mine."
The in between is mine.
Yeah,
I am mine.
Yeah, similar to what you were saying. It's like you're given this finite time, you know, given or just happened to be, right? And for me, that speaks to like autonomy and basically deciding for yourself what you want to do at that time. You know, you can make life, like some people disagree, but I feel like you can literally, whatever your circumstances are, maybe that's like an entitled perspective, but I feel like whatever circumstances you're in, you can still choose to make life exactly what you want it to be, you know? And people talk about purpose. We talked about purpose earlier. And I feel like for some people's purpose, it's just to give life purpose, give your own life purpose, right? Like give meaning to things instead of looking for the meaning in things. It's like, yo, I feel like we're in this type of society where it's like, we're being told to do things, always do things, achieve things, you know, become something. And I feel like that takes away the opportunity for happiness because you're always like chasing this thing. Whereas I feel like people back then, they weren't trying to do anything. Like they were just being, and the natural state was one of joy. It was one of happiness. But once we learn to, you know, move our attention and our awareness and consciousness like outside of ourselves, then it was just like, oh shit, like I've externalized my joy and now I have to like go out and look for it again. You know, it's like, where did it go? Like, hey. But I think inherently, intrinsically, like we have that joy. We just forgot how to be, you know, and recognize that it's not out there. It's actually right here. I just have to like look back, you know, at myself. So yeah, that's what I got from that.
Kind of piggyback on that a little bit. God damn it. I'm sorry, people. I'm sorry, but it's a really good book. In the book, Rick Rubin says, he talks about how art doesn't have to be like a commercial thing or anything like that, right? So then back to what you were saying, which is we look for acceptance or success to become something and be successful in the eyes of like whatever society deems to be successful, can hinder people and has hindered people's creative process, right? For example, I won't name names because I don't know, whatever. You hear about this all the time with musicians, right? My goal is to have like a number one hit or to have like a freaking top, you know, charting album or whatever you want to call it. And if things aren't going the way that they want them to go, especially nowadays when it's so difficult, you know what I mean? Like you don't hear about like big record deals anymore, things like that, unless, you know, you're like, I don't know, what's her name? Whatever. You know who I'm talking about. Obviously, she's famous. You don't hear about that anymore. It's rare, right? But you have people that are like, well, no, that's the validation I need. And if I don't see things going that way, then like, screw it. Like, I'm just not going to play live music anymore. I'm not going to make music anymore. In the book, he kind of mentions how like art doesn't have to be that. You know what I mean? Like art doesn't have to be hung up in a museum. It doesn't have to be recorded and, you know, be like a number one hit single. Like you just create, you know what I mean? And the subtitle of the book it's like the creative act, and then the subtitle is like a way of being, which is kind of like what you were saying. It's like you're just being creative. Like you don't have to measure it by anything, you know what I mean? And that's another thing he says, like, which I thought it's kind of comical to me, because he's like, yeah, not everybody's art is the same, right? Some people's art, he words it better, but I basically took it as like, yeah, some people's art is kind of shitty, but you know, that doesn't mean it's not art. You know what I mean? It's just not your cup of tea. You know what I mean? I was just like, yeah, that's true. I do see a lot of shitty art.
Because art is supposed to be an expression of yourself, right? But I think what happened somewhere along the way, like it became like, okay, you have to be successful. And for people, when art is linked to success, you know, or it has to be, you know, successful, that has like success becomes survival for them. And like, yeah, for some people it's like physical survival, right? Like, yo, I'm an artist. That's all I do. Yeah, I have to make money off this. Otherwise I'm going to like die because I won't be able to eat.
Yeah.
But for other people it's like social survival.
Yeah.
You know, like the need to belong, you know, the need to feel like you're part of a tribe or a group or a family. And in many ways, like some people need to know that like, yo, my existence is valid. And if they don't have that, if nobody's like picking up on their art, then it's like, yo, my shit is useless. It's pointless.
Yeah.
And that's where they end up spiraling into like depression and drugs and addictions, you know? Yeah. So I don't know. I don't really know. Like, I've seen people too who just create and they're like the happiest people like
right.
ever. You know, they don't make money off of it. Yeah. Like,
it's not the way they make a living.
Yeah.
Like, it's so, just like a thing yeah, they do on the side.
Some people have like a job.
Yeah.
And then they're like, that job gives them the space to create.
Right.
You know, so it's like they have their survival needs met. That allows them to create for joy.
Yeah.
Expression.
Yeah, yeah.
My buddy is one of them. Mm-hmm. So like he's a trucker. So like he makes, you know, 100K a year or whatever doing that. And it gives him the time and the space to like do shows on his days off and just
not to mention he's already touring.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, dude, open mic, baby, I'm on tour.
Yeah,
dude. Like, dude, I've played fucking everywhere, dude.
Oh man, that's the life.
Yeah, yeah. So like I mean I feel like combination of both, like having both, I think is like a good balance. But
yeah,
yeah.
Denise, what you think about it? You're the resident Pearl Jam expert.
I dig it. It's yeah, it's always been a good song for me, like a good message. I debated getting this like tattoo, like the I Am Mine, but everybody and their mother has this freaking tattoo, so I'm just like,
I feel like everybody and their mother has the stick figure.
And this one, because when you look it up, like I Am Mine tattoo, like a shit ton come up.
Really?
Yeah, and I've seen, yeah, or if you just look at like.
Or I've seen like Given to Fly.
Yeah.
You see a lot of Given to Fly too.
Would you get an I Am Mine?
I would not get any tattoo. So yesterday at the comedy show, the guy was like.
Joe List.
Yeah, Joe List. Sorry, Joe List.
Pearl Jam fan as well.
Oh, he is a Pearl Jam fan. This is true. I'm surprised he doesn't have a Pearl Jam tattoo. Anyways, well, whatever.
His whole take.
Yeah. So his whole take is like, yeah, people who get tattoos, it's like, have you never heard of t-shirts? It's like, you get any t-shirt you want, say whatever you want, and then, you know, you get tired of it, you put another t-shirt on. And then he's like, I have a buddy, he has a rooster tattooed on his calf, right? And then I was like, rooster, like, do you have a rooster or something? Like, you like roosters? And he's like, no, it's a cock below my knee. So anyway, yeah. So I'm on this, I was like, dude, you're speaking to me, man. Because yeah, that's how I feel. Take. Like, I'm just like, there's no one thing that I'm like, dude, this is my thing for life, bro. Yeah. Like, I feel like the closest I've come to that is some of my social media usernames where like, I'm just like, dude, pothead rod across the board, baby. And I feel like for the most part, like I do love podcasting. And that's like the one thing that I think has been constant for a long time. Mm-hmm. I don't just love podcasting, but I just love the medium in general. Like I love podcasts. Like I'll listen to fucking podcasts about anything. But again, like, I wouldn't get, like, a tattoo, like, Pod and Rod, or, like, a microphone or something, you know what I mean? Like, Born to Pod, you know what I mean?
Oh,
stickers are also another good alternative, yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, just put a sticker on my laptop. There, I'm good. Yeah. And even then, I'm like, I shouldn't have put that sticker there. Like, now I'm not really that much into podcasting anymore. You know what I mean? So, yeah, anyway, so, yeah, that's my whole thing.
Get your license plate of...
Or a license, yeah. But then there's a whole stigma with like custom license vanity plates. You know, it's like, that's an asshole.
Really?
Oh, yeah,
dude, I'm an asshole.
I mean,
if you're just C-Flo, Rudy, everyone's an asshole. Then
you get a bad rap for having a vanity plate because it's like, oh, you're really going out of your way there to just tell people you like the Raiders, like number one Raider fan. I don't know. But yeah, no, I love it, dude. I see a custom plate, I'm like, dude, that's dope. And then I'm always trying to figure out like what it means. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Yeah. But yeah, I don't. I mean, whatever. Ultimately, like, do what you want, man. You want a tattoo? Get a tattoo. You want custom plates? Get custom plates. You want stickers? Get stickers.
I like stickers.
We know, James. We know you like stickers. Yeah. So anyway, so that's all the songs for the evening. Any last comments, questions, concerns on the songs? I think we did good.
Yeah, great songs.
I think we did good, Mark. I guess I do want to give you an opportunity. Not that anybody listens to this show again, like I said. This is just my art, man. I just make it because I make it, you know? So you mentioned at the top of the show, we kind of alluded to starting a business relating to this whole concept of, you know, helping people find themselves and all that. So do you want to go a little bit more into detail about that? Kind of like what the plans are for it? Maybe lay some seeds down so that once it's up and running, people can reach out and maybe get that going for them?
Yeah, thank you. So yeah, it's actually a business that Madi and I are creating together. It's basically going to be an online, but also at some point in person community, where everybody can pretty much share their gifts, you know, their authentic selves. Actually went down to Mexico last year and, you know, I sat in ceremony with the people there, my shaman and his community. And I don't know, I've never felt more at home, like in a place, right? And it's over there in San Cristobal de las Casas in Chiapas. Yeah, for me, like as soon as I stepped on the land, I was like, whoa, like I belong here, right? And some of my roots are actually like from there, I discovered. Yeah, which is really interesting.
I mean, I was born there, so you know. Not to be a one-upper or anything. Yeah.
So like I sat with that and I'm like, wow, like I like this idea of community. And before, like I was like, oh no, like I can't be around people, I'm an introvert. But no, man, like it really hit me and I'm like, you know, I want this for my life, you know. So Mari is the same way, you know, she wants community, she's a family person. And so we decided like, yo, like we have stuff to share, we have something to share with the world and the people closest to us, you know, with her ability to like hold space and be able to take on anything that anybody has, like whatever traumas or, you know, wounds that they have, like she can just like hold that. Right. And it's super healing for people. And for me, there's like practical tools like human design, Enneagram, like all the things that I've used to get to know myself better and more deeply. Like I'm learning how to give that to other people as well. Relationally too, you know, there's a lot of like relationship books and tools and experiences that I've had that I can share with people. And ultimately I hope that those things will not just create a space for people to come to in order to be themselves and be safe and be seen, but also to become part of this community, you know, that we're going to be having, creating. And at the same time, like give them the ability to share that with their own people so that we can sort of like create this wave of like communities throughout the world. Cause I feel like moving forward, especially everything going on with like the government and, you know, globally, I feel like soon, like the government is just going to be like, all right, you guys are on your own. Right. And we're going to have to go back to that tribal society. So, I mean, like what better time to like start that now? Right. Mm-hmm. If not like physically by like growing your own gardens and finding your own like land to purchase and, you know, becoming self-sufficient, at least like emotionally and like heartfully, like become this community who like stands together for like justice and harmony and self-expression and things like that. So yeah,
I dig it. Initially it'll be online. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming you'll have a website up and running eventually.
Yeah,
like pretty but soon. For now, if people want to get a hold of you, pick your brain about anything, it's mystics mm-hmm. and metaphysics. Mm-hmm. Mystics and metaphysics at gmail.com. Mm-hmm. You got to get on that URL, man.
Yeah,
you gotta get it before somebody gets it. So
make a little square thingy. What is it?
QR code.
Yeah, QR code.
It's important. Gotta get that QR code. All right. And Denise, again, if people want to get hold of you, what do you got going on? How can they do that? Et cetera, et cetera.
At DeeferMusic, DeeFur Music on Instagram.
All right. And don't forget to check out the 110 podcast. I love to shout it out because Denise does put a lot of time and effort into that. And I don't know. I just dig it. I think it's a cool project you got going on over there, shedding light on smaller artists that don't get a lot of listens and stuff. You don't have to rate and review this podcast because honestly, like this podcast doesn't, it's just whatever, you know, we're just here. But you should go rate and review the 110 podcast because the way that, you know, computers work, the algorithm, AI, our overlords and all that, if they see there's a lot of activity and a lot of traction going on with the podcast, they're like, hey, people seem to like this. Let's put it out there for people to find. So this way, more people will find all those artists that have been featured on the show. So that's what all the cool kids are doing, I heard. So definitely do that. You know, if you have a TikTok, put it on the TikTok. I don't know how that works, but do that. All right. We're everywhere you get your podcasts. We're still on Spotify. They haven't kicked us off yet. So whoop. And yeah, if you want to check out even more podcasts featuring myself and Denise, head on over to talkingisheart.com. Right now, as I mentioned, we only have the Listening Party podcast and the 110 podcast currently active, but there's like old podcasts there that we did a long time ago and all that. So check those out. Mark, thanks again for coming on. Thank you for sharing your light with the world. And yeah, we look forward to seeing you again and figuring out where you're heading and what you're doing. And
yeah, thank you guys. I really appreciate it.
See you next month, everybody.
Bye.
Me. 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 Me.